Welcome to the Roast of Your Teenage Self podcast. I am your host, your roast coming queen, a girl who unironically had a parental advisory explicit content poster on the outside of her bedroom door for years, Elise Morales. And with us today, we have such a funny friend. He's a comedian and writer who was named one of Variety's top 10 comics to watch and one of JFL's new faces for 2020. But before all of that, he was a graduate of Chillicothe High School. It's Caleb Heron.
Hi, hello, hey, how's it going?
Wow. I've noticed, like, as I bring people in with the name of their high school, I feel like that's something that comedians actually do want.
The name of their high school to be said?
Yes. For their high school graduation to be recognized, and for them as a member of their high school to be recognized.
I feel pretty neutral on it. I mean, I feel like, you know, I had fun in school. I liked high school. I liked high school a lot when I was in it, and then I got out and looked back on the way I behaved in high school and was like, oh boy, what were you doing? You know, yeah. I definitely did not know myself.
Yeah, but there's also, you're doing what you had to do to get along, you know, making it work for yourself. I think it was on a recent episode of this podcast that I was talking about how me and my friends used to just scream at people outside the window of our car, and we called it street chaos.
such a big part. Where are you from?
I'm from Northern Virginia.
Okay, were you in a small town, big town? What was your town like?
Big town, like it's like outside DC. So my entire neighborhood is like people who, like growing up, it was like people whose parents worked for the Bush administration.
Like Arlington or Reston.
Reston. Reston is exactly right.
It's Reston? I've been to Reston.
Very, very close to Reston.
Well, I think growing up like in like suburbs or even small towns, I think when there's just not a ton to do, a big attraction for like middle school and high school students is to just be a public nuisance. It's like a huge, like it's a thing to do. You like go to Walmart and like run around and touch shit, and the employees are like, please get out. We're at our job. Like,
that is so true. There was a shopping center that had literally like a regular suburban shopping center. So there was a giant supermarket in it. And for a period of time, there was a pet store that definitely sold abused animals. So like,
for sure. Of course.
Absolutely. We got our dog there. Absolutely. Someone had chopped his tail off. So like, but that's what was going on.
Well, also, I don't know if this was an overlap or not, but when I was in like late middle school, early high school, to where like my friends were driving and I was maybe starting to drive, there was that trend where you would, what was it called? Like coning, where you would go through McDonald's and grab the ice cream cone the wrong way. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know? you would go to McDonald's. This was a trend. I swear it's real. You would go through the drive-thru and you would order you'd be like, an ice cream cone, please. Mm-hmm. And then they would make it. And then when you go to the window, you would grab it from the ice cream instead of from the cone. And it would like make a mess and fuck with the employees who are like hardworking people who don't need to be bothered. But it was like such a thing.
And then ultimately you just get ice cream on your hand.
Like, well, it would like get on their hand, and it would also like bother, like obviously it would disturb them because it's disturbing behavior. But it got to the point where the McDonald's in my town started putting up signs on the windows that were like, if you order one single ice cream cone, we're putting it in a cup, because they were sick of it. They were like, it's over. You guys are done. Stop.
That is so fucked up for the poor people who work at McDonald's. Did you ever do it?
Yes. I mean, yes, of course. And it was awful. And I look back and I'm like, God, you fucking asshole. And also like, I had friends that worked at McDonald's. One time my friends and I, this is like middle school though. We were, but you know, it was like late middle school. We were camping in his yard because we were, you know, desperate to have an experience. And we decided we were going to ding dong ditch somebody's house. And we just picked like a random house up the street and we did it. And we ran back to the tent giggling and we were like, oh my God, that was such a, you know, however we were. And like, no more than 5 minutes later, we had just heard a voice outside the tent be like, hey guys, open up. And we opened up the tent and it was the guy who lives there. And he was like, I know you guys are trying to have fun, but like you woke up my newborn and like it really just sucks for me. Like we're having a hard time right now. he was like if he would have yelled at us, we would have been like, fuck that guy. But because he was just like, look, I get it, you're bored, but please don't do it again. And he was like defeated. Oh,
why did you guys choose me?
Couldn't you have chosen another house? Couldn't you have done? Yeah, it just the decision to like menace the community that you're in because you're bored is so specific to being a teenager. You could like two more years of life experience and you start to go, wait, that's horrible. Why would I do that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, wait, why am I behaving this way at the grocery store? Like, it doesn't make sense. My friends and I would go to Giant. I remember it was the thrill of our life that there was this, the row of toys at the grocery store. Oh, yeah.
With the balls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had a Barbie that you could record on the Barbie saying stuff. Anyone could record. Anyone who picked up the box of the Barbie could record. And every day, my friends and I would record it saying horrible stuff. And the Giant employees would be like, hey, you guys are always coming in here making the Barbie say fuck and stuff. You gotta stop.
we don't work here, really. So if you could just not make it harder, that'd be dope.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, I have to reprogram all the Barbies every day because you guys keep doing this. And we would just be like, ha, punk.
We got really into going places like the bowling alley or Walmart or Dairy Queen and taking pictures with people. We would be like, just any person we deemed random, we would be like, can we get a picture with you? And they almost always would be like, yeah, I got, like, they just they didn't know what to say. And we would do it and we were like, that was so fun. That was so random of us. And it's like, what is wrong? I mean, it's like mental illness not in the cool way.
Sickness. And it's always directed at hourly workers and employees.
Yeah.
Like, I remember me and my friends would, we would go into Abercrombie because we were also punk rock. And so we would go into Abercrombie and we would be like, these pants are ripped. You know,
it'd be like, there's holes in these. Like,
why are they ripped? They're really expensive and they're ripped. And they would be like, that's the style. And we'd be like, what? They're ripped. And then like leave.
God, there were so few times, like less than 1%, that whoever we were fucking with would just like lay into us and be like, stop. And I remember those times and they were correct. And I feel so much worse for the people who just endured it and were like, I don't want to get in trouble. I'm just going to deal with these kids. Like the horrible, horrible thing to have to do when you're at a job that already kind of blows.
Yeah. We've talked a little about Teen Caleb and then he seems to be a prankster, etc. But that let's dive in. So what apart from grabbing McDonald's ice cream by the ice cream part and whatever, what were your extracurriculars? What was your life about in your teenage years?
Oh, well, you know, I actually, it's like this really big, when I think about like being a teenager, I just feel like I have this really big conflict between like, I grew up pretty poor. Like we didn't have a ton of money. And also nobody in my family really went to like in my household, but in my extended family, a couple people like went to college. Right. So I was like, I want to go to college. I want to get out of here. So there was this knowledge that like, I had to be extra involved, extra good at school to get out of where I was. Like that's the only way it was going to happen for me. I wasn't a sports superstar. My family couldn't afford to just send me somewhere to fuck around and find myself. But then also I hated being told what to do and I hated following the rules. So like I was this like student council, student government, like extra, like hyper involved in everything, competing in like student business competitions and shit. Mm-hmm. I was that person who did like everything under the sun and like wore suits and shit and so embarrassing. But then I also was like constantly getting in trouble for like talking back or like, you know, I was getting in trouble for tweeting. I was in high school getting in trouble for tweeting jokes because I would tweet stuff about like, you know, I would be an officer in a student organization and I would tweet a joke about like a Republican politician and gun control or something. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't funny. It wasn't smart. It was just me being like, I don't want to make it seem like I was some brilliant comedian. I was an idiot, but I was like experimenting with my beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I would get in trouble, and my like teachers and stuff would be like, you don't need to be talking about gun control. You don't know what you're talking about. Or I would make jokes like, about like having fans. Like, if someone was nice to me at an event, like another student, I would be like, I love my fans. And I would get in trouble for shit like that. And it made me so mad.
Teachers were like really following you on Twitter too.
Yeah, of course. Because it was also, I was like, there was this organization called FCCLA that was like Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America. And it was like it was like home ec, but it was new age home ec, which is family and consumer sciences and leadership and whatever.
Right. I remember home ec was called family consumer sciences.
Right. And it was like a new age, like young leaders in the world thing, but it was like based around the family kind of. I mean, it's a little conservative if you really think about it. Their headquarters is in Reston.
Anything that has family in the name, unfortunately, is ultimately conservative.
Conservative, babe. If you really get down to it.
Anytime you see an organization that's got family in the name, you do a little Google, you find out that organization ain't right.
They're talking about a very specific kind of family, huh? Yeah. And I was like a state and national officer for that group. So like their national headquarters is in Reston. That's why I've been there, because I was
There we go.
But yeah, so I like had all these like advisors and teachers who like I had a public presence. Like I was like tweeting about the organization. We would like lobby politicians for different bills we needed for funding and shit. So like they had an interest. They had a reason to be keeping track of that stuff, but it was so fascist and so fucking annoying that like I, you know, wasn't allowed to like express personal opinions and like,
right. Because you're involved in student government ultimately. Like, come on.
Right. And like, you know, so much of high school is just figuring out like who you're going to be in the world in terms of like authority. And like, that was definitely where I figured out like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this forever. I can't stand people telling me what to do. I fucking hate it. And that's a bad trait to have, honestly. It would be way more useful to be like, I love the rules. I love not getting in trouble. But I loved getting in trouble. I was like, it made me feel like, you know what I mean? Like, like I'm doing something.
I didn't like getting in trouble, but I had the same authority issue.
Anytime I got sent to the office, it was usually like, and number one, my teacher would be like, you need to go down to the office, or more likely because I was like kind of friends with the principal, embarrassing. He would like, you know, they would just tell the principal, and then like sometime in the next day or two, he would find me in the hallway and be like, hey, I heard that you were in trouble in math class. You want to tell me what that's about? And I was like, oh yeah, I was right and she was wrong. And he'd be like, well, what if, you know, he would like try to be my friend about it.
What if we jammed about that?
Yeah. What if, I mean, he was I think he was a nice guy, but he was always trying to be like, we just kind of, we need you to be on board with this. We had like a lanyard policy that I was always raging against because of shooters. Yeah, you had to wear your ID on a lanyard, and if you were caught for even a second without it around your neck, you got like detention or some shit.
Right, and we do have a photo of your lanyard, I believe.
And this is one of my lanyards. And okay, this is actually a really telling image because, number one, I was raging against this policy. I was like, if I don't have it on for a second, fuck you. Like, I was like, this is like, you guys are trying to like control us and like, you know, but of course.
Why don't you fucking microchip me, dude? Microchip truly, me.
And they also would be like, they would be like, if we don't see a lanyard, how do we know you're not a shooter? And I'm like, because you've known me my whole fucking life. You know my face. What are we doing with the fucking plastic cards? But so my little way of like trying to subvert that is to do this stupid face, right? Like, that's so toothless, but I thought I was like really sticking it to the
well, and it also, it makes it look like you're more excited about the lanyard than anybody,
right? Does nothing for anybody. And I like had to also beg the woman taking the picture. I remember this conversation because I was like, can I do a goofy face? And she was like, I mean, it would be better if you didn't. And I was like, well, just let me try one and then I'll do normal. And then she was like, fine, we did the goofy one. And then I was like, all right, see you later, and I left. So I'm like bothering this person taking the photos. Again, someone who does not need to be bothered. And yeah, this is my senior year of high school ID.
It really does make me laugh because the impression that it would give me is completely different than what you just said. Like, the impression this gives me is like, person who's so thrilled to take his lanyard photo, he's trying to make it fun.
Yeah, I mean, look, was I effective in my political resistance? No. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, we're gonna make this like some like serious crackdown issue. Okay, then when you beg me to put on my lanyard, you're gonna have to see this face. So that's what we have. Dude, speaking of like toothless protest, I remember I was in the cafeteria and I had my phone out for like 2 seconds to check a text from my mom. And one of the math teachers at the school, who was a relentless bitch, she was just so about the rules, which is her job, by the way. But I will remember her as a relentless bitch for it.
You can be doing your job and be a relentless bitch.
Yeah, she wasn't fun about it at all. There were teachers who were nice to you and made you want to do the thing they were requiring of you. And then there were teachers who did it by force. And those were the worst because I couldn't handle it. So anyway, she came by, she saw me on my phone. She was like, got into some kind of argument with me. And I was like, I'm checking a text from my mom. So if my mom can text me right now, I'm pretty sure I can check it. And she was like, do you want ISS, like in school suspension? And I was like, yeah, I do. So she gave it to me. And during those like two or three days of ISS or something, maybe two. And I remember being like, I am going to get more done in these 2 days than I've ever done in my life. And I was like posting on Facebook at the end of the day because some of my teachers were like friends with me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was just posting like, got all of my college scholarship applications done in ISS today. So glad I checked my phone during lunch. This was so productive. Like, like trying to be like, joke's on you.
Fuck you. I actually used the time to apply to college.
The joke's on you. I actually used this time extremely productively, like so stupid and lame.
Isn't that the point of in-school suspension, is to force you to like use your time for productive means?
I think so. I guess my big protest of it was I viewed it as them being like, you don't get to see other people today. Because they would have you sit. Like,
well, actually, I didn't need to because I got my fucking books in order.
Because I actually organized my folders, you fucking freaks. I mean, it also, looking back on it, I'm like, that is also completely lame and weird of them to like, if you're in trouble, they put you in a small room by yourself for the whole day. Like, okay, prison vibes. Hate to see that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why are we modeling like the discipline in a school off of a prison? Like, why is that?
It's like solitary confinement. It's like an exact one-for-one model of like, well, you messed up, so you don't get to be in Gen Pop anymore. It's like completely fucked up.
They feed you like fucking one nasty chicken wing while you're in there too.
They throw you a piece of bread and it's like molded. Yeah, it's, I mean... the thing is, I was always getting in trouble for stuff that they technically had a reason for, but I always was just like, I shouldn't have to follow all of these rules because you know who I am. It's not a huge school, you know. And it was
like, I feel like there's that flip that switches where you just realize where you're like, this doesn't matter. Why does it matter if I check my phone during lunch? What's gonna happen?
And the argument I remember, and God, I can't even imagine what kids are going through now, because now it's so much more a part of life. But the argument was, if we let you check your phone sitting at the cafeteria table in school, what's stopping into the bathroom and taking a picture of somebody while they're using the restroom? That was the argument. And I was like, well, what's stopping me is I'm texting my mom and I'm not a predator. Like, what is wrong with you guys?
What's stopping me is my internal moral compass. And a person who's going to do that isn't not going to do it because the school has a rule about cell phone use. Like,
right. It's not like I was like...
Well, I was gonna take a non-consensual nude image of one of my classmates, but the school has a cell phone policy, so I'm not gonna break that rule.
I woke up today and I was feeling like doing revenge porn, but the school said it wouldn't be cool, so I'm actually just gonna study. It's like, you're so fucking dumb. Your rules suck. You're lame.
Make a rule against taking pictures of people in the bathroom, I guess.
Right. And it was like, well, what if you're like, what if that's how bullying spreads, is if you're like all texting at lunch about somebody. And I'm like, you guys watch too many movies. Truly, we like bullying is not like in TV. Like even then I was like, bullying is just when we don't invite somebody to something. It's not like we walk up to them and go like, nice bangs, faggot. Or like, you know what I mean? It's like not like that. It's cold.
Especially like when I was a kid, there was this like moral panic around the internet and what we were talking about on our phones and what we were doing on there. And like, we talked about this on a previous episode, but like what we were getting off Wikipedia and what we were doing on our phones. And they would project onto us stuff that it was like, I mean, we're mainly just talking about what we would have been talking about in person.
There was this truly, and there was this like when I was in high school, Yik Yak got really big. Do you remember Yik Yak?
Yik Yak, yes.
Yik Yak was like the, for anyone who doesn't know that's listening, Yik Yak was like this secret posting app where you could post, like high schoolers were using it to post rumors basically and being like, Caitlin S sucked Josh's dick after school or whatever. Like it was like the most heinous shit in the world. And
it's actually so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. And it like, it really did ruin lives, but we had so many conversations. I mean, I just feel like we were getting gaslit all the time by like the administration and the teachers and stuff. Cause like my friend group would be really nice to like the kids who didn't have like as many friends or so. We would give them rides. We would hang out with them. Like the kids who were like, who would be considered in like, you know, 90s movies, the like the burnouts or whatever, like that dumb old trope. We always went out of our way to be nice to them because we were like, okay, we've gotten anti-bullying messages forever. Like, we get it. Like, we don't want to be mean to anybody. But then we started being accused. The teacher started being like, you're bullying them by including them. You're like, it's a joke. It's a joke to you that you're being nice to. You know what I mean? Like,
they thought you were carrying them.
Right. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, like, that's not actually a thing people do.
No, I was like, we're literally just trying to make sure that we don't have an event at the school. Like we're trying to be nice and do the right thing and like not be, you know, a fucking news story. And then they were like, no, this is a game to you. We were like, no,
you're being too nice. It's suspicious. That's, oh my god, that's completely, I got in trouble one time for posting a Facebook status because a teacher was following me. Where I said which Harry Potter character everyone in my friend group was. And he was like, you shouldn't be comparing people to characters. You know, you never know.
You shouldn't be making comparisons. Okay. You shouldn't be reading books. I'll start there.
Don't read books and then try to apply them to your life. Because that's a slippery slope that you don't want to go down.
If I could give you any lesson in this life as a student, it would be, do not use media to understand yourself and your position in the world at all, ever. That's bad news.
Don't derive moral lessons from books.
Stop.
Literature.
Stop now. You're gonna go down a dark path.
It was really crazy. He like pulled me into his office and was like, you should not be comparing people to kids.
I mean, it's insane. We did this like welcome back to school video and I was tasked with interviewing the vice principal who was like, the principal was cool guy. The principal at our school was like cool guy. He was like fun guy. The vice principal was like, you're fine. Like he was like Mr. Tough guy, mean guy.
I think maybe that's like the unspoken principal to vice principal rule.
Yeah.
It's, our principal was like, he was like aloof and you didn't really see him. And our vice principal like was the guy who actually disciplined you and was mean.
Yeah, I think the principal role is to be like, I mean, it's like that Steve Buscemi meme where he's like, how do you do, fellow kids? Like, that's the principal. And then the vice principal is like a cop. He's just like, we caught you on video smoking a cigarette in your car. Like, it's like very, like, his job is to be like the police. And he always has to do this, too. Mm-hmm. He has to go like this.
We found you.
But I was tasked for the back-to-school video with humanizing him. through an interview because they were worried that he was like people, all the kids hated him and didn't want to talk to him because he was scary, cop vibes.
Okay. And so you're going to Marc Maron him.
Yeah. I'm going to use the power of comedy to endear him to the masses. Mm-hmm. And in the video, I was like asking like little cutesy questions, being like, is it true that you hate all the kids in the school? Like, I was like trying to like put, like get him to be like, no, it's not. I know you guys think that or whatever. And then I did the video with him, whatever. And then the teacher who was in charge sat me down like 2 days later after she had looked over the footage, and she was like, I am so embarrassed. I am so appalled. I am so disgusted. You never make a position, someone who's in a position of authority, play the heavy. You never make put them in that position. And I was like, girl, we're trying to make him seem like a human. Like, we gotta do something. Like,
and again, it's also an insane lesson. You never speak truth to power. Never.
And I don't like, truly, this teacher is a cool, like, progressive person and one of the only ones in the town. I think she was just like trying to cover her own ass of like, I can't send kids in there and seem like I sent them on a mission to make him look stupid or whatever. Don't hold it against her. But yeah, the takeaway from that is like, someone who's in power over you should never be questioned or like poked fun at. And it's like, fuck that. I don't like that.
And also, like, it's just such a minor like thing to make fun of yourself with, like, to be like, do you really hate all the kids? And him be like, no. Like, that's such a,
it's easy.
I know. That's such a truly like Trump on Fox News like question, basically.
Yeah, it's so easy. It's like if Fox News interviewed Trump and was like, do you really hate everyone who doesn't look like you? And he'd be like, no. You know, it's like the simplest, exactly. Like,
no.
Like,
I actually hate those who look like me. And then they'd all be like, ah! Right.
Yeah, it's like the softest, like softball kind of like, we're gonna give it to you hard, like fake question ever.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I was a great journalist then and now. Yeah, he couldn't take the heat. He couldn't handle a real journalist sitting in his office with a camera.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you're the vice principal and not the principal.
And I'm and the student journalist.
Do you, okay, what was, do you remember the biggest trouble you ever got in?
Oh, God. I'm trying to decide.
What was your biggest trouble?
There are a couple big troubles. I'm honestly trying to pick the biggest trouble. Okay, here's one of the big troubles. So I was the leader of our like student spirit group. Mm-hmm. The Chili Bomb Squad, never forget. And then what was it called? The Swarm. I think eventually we changed the name because we were the Hornets. And you know, Chili, so I would
Bomb
like
Squad is really good though. But I guess maybe it was Bomb Squad.
No, you know what it was? Chili Bomb Squad was invented by the people that had already graduated. And when I took over, it was a really good name, and I knew that I just wanted to put my own mark on it. Changed the name. I mean, it was really psychotic kind of stuff. And then, so I changed a good name and then rebranded. I got like a poster made. I got like, not like a vinyl, like I got new shirts made. I mean, I really was like taking over. I was like, this is now my squad.
New
stupid,
era,
dumb.
New administration.
Yeah, there's a new sheriff in town. And we would like go to all the games and cheer and like carry flags. And like, I will say, I don't care about this now. I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. We had the best student section in like our whole district. Like, we went the fuck off. Like, we were like, at every away game, we packed the stands. Like, at every home game, it was like, we were like kind of the shit. Like, we were, we were doing it. I don't know what to tell you. And so there was this Catholic private school in our district, or conference or whatever the fuck those things were called. And it's crazy how much this used to mean to me. And now I can't even tell you what it was called. But their school is called Bishop LeBlanc, and we hated them. And I don't really know why. I don't think it was anti-Catholic sentiment, but we definitely did feel like, because they were a private school, we were like those preppy, like, we, there definitely was a private school, public school aspect to it.
Yeah.
I think we're the only private school in our like situation. Like, if you went a step above whatever I'm talking about, there were more of them because it included the Kansas City area. Mm-hmm. But the people you played most often in sports, they were the only private school.
Yeah, so my school never played the private school kids, so they were all just very mysterious and sexy to us, and we just assumed like that they had drugs and that seemed cool.
And this, I will say, Bishop LeBlanc, if anyone that went or goes to or works at Bishop LeBlanc in St. Joseph, Missouri, it's not a good private school. It's like a small, like, rinky-dink. Like, I can't believe people are paying to send their kids to it, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. But you know how Catholic people are. They love to have religion.
Well, they
want
to send their kids to one of – they want to send all their kids into the same building. And that's on them.
Right, and that's fine. And I will also say, if I was in St. Joseph, Missouri, and I had to pick between the public schools there and this like tiny Catholic school that also isn't great, probably pick the private one, because it's a weird situation going on in the city. So anyway, mm-hmm. we have a rivalry with them. We go to one of their games. We're completely disrespectful. Like, as a cheering section, we're like finding out. I mean, we would do shit before games. Like, we would like search their like. Whoever was playing for their team on Facebook mm-hmm. and try to see if they went through a breakup or something so we could like chant their ex-boyfriend's name.
Oh,
like we would do like crazy fucked up. Yeah. Like we would do fucked up stuff. And I look back now and I'm like, Jesus. Like, I mean, but we would like try to get gossip from other people in their town. We'd be like, what do you know about this guy? Oh, he threw up after one drink at a party. Cool. And then at the game, we would like chant when he was doing free throws or something, like, you know, can't hold his beer. Oh, like we would just like do like shit. That's like, it's not cool. So we went to their school. We were playing them in a game of, I think, basketball or volleyball or something. And, we were super disrespectful to an extent that is like completely uncalled for and unacceptable. And it's like truly from like a human point of view. And then when we were leaving, someone threw glass bottles at us. Like what? Like someone like threw glass at us and like almost hurt us. So then we were like, it's on. Yeah. Like, we were like, so people were getting on Facebook and being like, cause they had another game against us like 2 weeks later at our school. And we had a bigger school and a bigger, and we were like, you guys, I mean, their school was small anyway. So like their student section, even at home games, was like weak. And then they were going to come to our school where we were like, we always packed out the home games. And people started posting on Facebook, like, we're going to fuck you guys up. We're going to start a brawl during the game. We're going to like beat you guys up. We're going to meet you at your cars and cut your tires. I swear to you. It was like the craziest shit. Or I will say, this is a possibility too. That's what we were told. Maybe it wasn't true, but that's what we were told by the administrations. And it was so like crazy. I mean, I remember I had to like every day for three or four days before the game, I had to sit down with the principal and be like, what are you doing to make sure this doesn't get out of control? And me being like, I am 17. And that was like, we had these conversations, then the game happened. It was very like rowdy and definitely disrespectful. The chants were a little uncalled for. No one ended up getting physically hurt. There definitely was some like yelling at each other in the parking lot kind of vibes, mm-hmm. If I remember correctly. But I remember definitely having a lot of private conversations with my principal that week about like, you need to tone down the rhetoric. You need to be a leader. And me being like, again, I cannot legally vote yet.
Yeah. I don't know.
I cannot be in charge of this. Yeah, it was nuts.
Seems like this is something the adults should really be dealing with 100%.
Somebody should be reining this in, and it can't be me because I am in it, you know, and I have to maintain my street cred.
Yeah, exactly. You're actually like kind of making me a narc right now, and that's not.
Yeah, you're turning me into like a criminal informant, and I'm like in it. I can't be part of this.
I feel like when I because you're the same age as my younger sister. So I'm 30. So just like when I was getting into high school, Facebook was such an unknown quantity that like they didn't mm-hmm. know what to do about it at all. So there was a scandal at my school where there was a group project in this. I remember the teacher whose class this was named Mr. Waxman because everyone called it Waxman Gate. And
I love it. I love it. I love it.
He like had some big assignment that you were like allowed to work on in groups and a bunch of people formed a big group on Facebook to work on it instead of working on it physically in person. And a parent printed out the group and brought it to the school and all of them got in trouble for cheating. And the kid who started the group had his college admissions rescinded.
No, it's not cheating.
They were just working online. They're just doing what now is legally required in like every state for students to do.
Dude, I mean, that sucks so bad because it really is just like you were just doing the thing. I mean, I know what cheating looks like. I did it a lot. And that's not cheating.
Yeah, it's not. Everyone was contributing answers in the group. Like everyone, like in order to be in the group, you had to contribute. It was just doing what they were supposed to be doing in person online. And a parent printed it out. What kind of a psycho? Let's look at some of these photos that you have sent us.
Okay.
I think they're going to help round out this picture. So I wanted to start with this one. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, I thought you would have some questions about this, so I tried to include evocative, provocative, sort of.
Yes.
So what you have here is, for those of you who don't know, that little pin on my chest is in the shape of Missouri. I believe... I'm trying to figure out what point we were thinking of here. Oh, this is state. So I was the state president for Missouri of this student organization. And you can see next to me, there's like, that guy's from FFA, which is the Future Farmers of America, like the ag group, right? Mm-hmm. And then this guy below is maybe DECA. And then the guy below and to the other side is maybe like FBLA, the business leaders. So this is me dressed up in my official uniform that is a blue tie with... United States flags all over it. That was part of our uniform. And when you were the state president or national officer of one of these organizations, they would hang your picture up in the state capitol. So this is me in the state capitol taking a picture, presumably for like my mom, of me with my picture on the wall in the state capitol being like, look how important I am.
And so this is the outfit you had to wear when you were doing anything in your official capacity, this like the red suit jacket and the tie and everything.
Yeah. So it's very specific too. Women had a very specific uniform and men had a very specific uniform. Mm-hmm. Disgusting. And then like, I remember it was a big argument in the organization around whether women should be allowed to wear, or girls really truly, mm-hmm. girls should be allowed to wear pants and flats because historically they had always been required to wear skirts and heels. So it was a big fight about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a gold pin on one side and then your state name tag on the other side, white Oxford shirt with like a red, white and blue tie of some kind. We had like six different regulation ties, and then black dress pants, black dress socks, and black dress shoes.
See, and it seems like, because you're next to all these other like presidents, it seems yes. like you guys have the flashiest ensemble of kind Absolutely. Of all of the other presidents.
Absolutely. We have the flashiest ensemble, and it definitely was a situation where like, but here's the thing, FFA has such better branding because they required every single member to have a jacket and ours was only for officers. So it kind of was bad branding on my group's decision, but these groups were all started in like the 50s. So, you know, they didn't know.
You couldn't be a group unless there was a jacket.
Truly. It was like, yeah, it was like such a thing to be like, okay, we're going to be the home ec girls and we're going to wear red jackets. And it was all women when it started. So, you know, it goes like that sometimes.
Well, I think it makes you guys look way more fun and the rest of them look boring.
We were absolutely more fun. I mean, I will say FFA, bigger, flashier organization, but ultimately about farming, you know, and they will say it's not just about farming, but I will say they're wrong. And we so were the most
mostly
fun.
Mostly for the farming.
Yeah, it's mostly for the farming. And I was in that too, but I just didn't care about it as much.
All right, let's look at this next photo. Okay, here you are at McDonald's.
Yes.
Have you pranked anyone prior to this photo?
You know, I would have at this time considered what I'm doing to be a prank. So basically what you're looking at here is, this is the McDonald's in my hometown. The Ronald statue on the bench outside was a pretty cool thing that we had that not every McDonald's has, as you might know. Mm-hmm. And we would go there, cause trouble. You know, definitely at this point, I couldn't drive. So you can see I'm wearing ripped jeans intentionally. Mm-hmm. Call back to your...
Hey, your jeans are ripped.
Your jeans are ripped. Did you buy them like that? Why?
Like...
And one of my older friends definitely drove us to McDonald's. We had some food. We were way too loud in the restaurant for no reason at all. And then, you know, on the way out, we were like desperate for something to do. So of course I was like, what if I took a picture pretending to give Ronald a drink? and everyone was dying. Funniest thing we've ever heard.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, to even have that statue outside of your McDonald's is to invite teenagers to take all kinds of pictures with it.
It's a gift. And I do have several other pictures, by the way. When I was looking for pictures to send you, I had to decide which Ronald McDonald picture I would send you because this was such a, I was definitely, I wasn't like ever thinking I would be a comedian at this time in my life, but if I found something that made people laugh, I would do it 17 times. I was
Were
like,
these pictures like going right on Facebook? Like,
oh, straight to Facebook. Like take it on someone's cell phone. Or in this case, I guess maybe this was a night that we had a, sometimes we thought it was really retro and funny to have Polaroid, not Polaroids, but disposable cameras.
A disposable camera.
Yes, we thought that was fun. Like that was a night for us, as we would get a disposable camera and go around town and be like, what crazy pictures can we get? But yeah, it was definitely immediately uploaded to Facebook in the mobile upload section of
your Facebook page. And no deleting any of, just all of them uploaded at once, and then everyone can see 100 photos of this.
Yeah, and then like us laying in the grass laughing or something, you know. And I'm wearing a wristband there, so this might have been before, after, or during a like Christian youth conference that was hosted in my town. We got wristbands for those, so this might have been during some Christian fun.
Well, okay. And were you like, did you troublemake during your Christian fun, or were you respectful when it's like the Lord's time?
No, we troublemade during Christian time, but not in a, like, there were definitely like when they started playing certain songs, you knew it was time to like somber up and cry a little bit and like raise your hands and like really worship.
Yeah.
All the other times, I mean, my youth group was cool. They would play clips from The Office and we would have like iPad giveaways and all kinds of shit like that. So it was definitely, troublemaking was encouraged as long as it was like not blasphemous.
You know, in a way, Jesus was a troublemaker.
Jesus made good trouble. Yeah, Jesus made good trouble. That was part of his whole deal. His followers have made some bad trouble, but Jesus was primarily in the good trouble business.
He was
doing good trouble
in a way that was positive. But
yeah, he had good ideas. They've been taken in some really interesting directions, but he had good ideas.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were describing like the violence that almost erupted at your game, that like if only the Capitol had taken the same steps to prevent violence.
Right. Someone should have been sitting them down and being like, hey, this needs to be, we need to cool off.
We needed a principal and a Caleb to be meeting up and being like, hey, who's in charge of making sure this doesn't get crazy? Because I've seen some stuff on Facebook that says it's going to get crazy.
We've been reading the Facebook posts and it's not looking good, I will say.
Yeah. Open threats on the Facebook posts. So.
Yeah, sort of people are talking about executions. So maybe it's time to sit people down in the principal's office.
But hey, maybe next time. Okay, let's look at this next photo. Okay, more fun with statues.
Yeah, really. And I actually will be honest with you. This is outside of another McDonald's. Okay, so there, really, anytime I could find a statue at a McDonald's, I was really trying to do a bit. Now, what am I picked this one because it does display my love of doing bits at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. This is in Chicago. The first time I'd ever been to Chicago, this picture was taken. We went for a student leadership conference. And this was one of our nights that we got to like walk around the city and like see the world.
When you're a teenager and you go on a trip and you have like, even like 2 hours, like my drama group would go, we would do like a New York trip and we would have two hours to get dinner at like Hard Rock Cafe. And
yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah. Or like the Star Diner or whatever, the one where they sing. So what you're looking at here is actually a pretty typical outfit for me at that time. I'm wearing high top Nikes with a strap that I refuse to strap. I'm wearing tall black Nike socks. I'm wearing blue Nike shorts with black and white stripes on the side. Very, very sporty, very, I am heterosexual and you can't prove otherwise. And then I'm wearing a Tap Out fighting t-shirt. I've never watched UFC or MMA or anything. But that's
an I am heterosexual projection. For sure.
I am straight. Good luck proving otherwise. Yeah, that's the vibe we're going for here. Now, what's on my head? This is a hat from Ed DeBevick's, a famous now closed restaurant in Chicago where the servers were mean to you. That's where we chose to go for dinner.
Right. And were they mean to you? And were you like...
Oh, they were mean to me and I could not handle it. Like like the woman, I remember what she looks like because it was such a wild experience to me. I'm like, we're in this big city. I'd never been to a city that big in my life at this point. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we're in this big city. And this, like, she was a heavier set woman, blonde, and had like tons of like gaudy makeup on. And like, was like falling out of her top. She was like very sexy. Mm-hmm. And she was like coming over to the table and being like, you fat one, what do you want? And I was like, Coke. Like I could not.
You're like, you're talking about things that I haven't even admitted to myself yet.
Right. It's so disorienting. I think she made a joke about me having a boyfriend at one point, and I was like, ha, ha, ha. And it wasn't mean-spirited. Like, it was funny and she was good at her job, but I was like, people don't talk to you. Like, especially coming from a small town in the Midwest, it was like, I mean, it felt like someone was trying to kill me. It's like, I was like, you have a gun and you want to hurt me.
Yeah. You're harming me.
Yeah. So this is me. This is me. I thought, oh God, wouldn't it be funny? Her hand is out just so that I could pretend we're dancing. And I forced my teacher to take a picture of me and the other kids I thought would laugh, but they simply were not paying attention. So that's what we have here.
You know, you win some, you lose some. You post that on Facebook, you get a couple laughs.
You know? You win some, you lose most. When you play these kind of games, when you're begging for attention, you lose most.
Yeah, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, etc.
And I will tell you also something else interesting is so this is the first time I've ever been to Chicago. Flash forward several years later after college, I lived in Chicago, and I thought a guy was flirting with me when he asked me if I wanted to rent bicycles and bike from the north side of Chicago all the way downtown and find somewhere to eat. I thought that was a date. So we did that. That's a 5-mile bike ride, and I'm not athletic. So we biked all the way downtown, and the first place we saw that we thought would be funny to eat was this exact McDonald's. And it became pretty clear during the conversation that we were in fact not on a date, but we're just friends. So,
And then you just have a bike. And
yeah. And now you have a bike in your downtown. And I biked home. I did bike home and alone because he had somewhere else to be. So it's really full circle with this McDonald's and my story.
Yeah. Wow. This statue has seen you at so many different places.
I didn't even think about it at the time, but I wonder if that statue is still there. I don't know if it was when I was last there or not, but Chicago, beautiful city.
Sad if it was gone.
I know. I hope they give it to me if they get rid of it.
Depicting, actually.
Oh, I'm sure it's an influential person of the world or something, or of rock and roll, but it's definitely a parent with a child who's clinging to their leg. Okay. And I'm not sure the symbolism.
Did it belong to the McDonald's or was it just near the McDonald's?
I'm not sure. I bet it did, because I'm sure they own that whole lot. You know, that's how McDonald's makes their money, property. Yeah. So I'm sure they own that. So they either rented it from somebody or they own that statue. Okay. I do not know what it means.
Okay. Well, if anyone knows, DM me.
Shout out.
Let us know in the comments. Okay. all right. We are nearing the end here. So one thing. Oh, this is the Quiznos thing.
Oh, my God. The meese.
Do you recognize this?
No, not at all. This is scary. I hate this.
So this is what I think. This was a horrible thing.
I hate it.
And we don't need to get into it, but you can Google that at another time and it's really going to upset you. But that's the Quiznos commercial that I was talking about.
I hate it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay. So we like to end every episode of the podcast with this question, which is, if you could talk to teen Caleb today, what would you tell him?
Oh, gosh. I would tell him, you don't have to be so worried about people liking you. You're not going to be a lawyer. Give it up. You're still going to have friends when you come out of the closet, and your life is going to be so much better for it. So please stop trying to be straight. And also, I wish I could go back in time. I would be like, stop wanting to be out of here so bad. Like, stop trying to like be in the next thing so bad, because it is going to come. And then that's going to be over, and you're going to be in the next thing and the next thing. And it's just going to, it starts to go really fast. So you should stop wanting to be out of here so bad, because even though I don't identify with like that person anymore, like 17, 18 year old me, I mean, it's so much a part of who I am now, because it was trial and error. So I'm like, I would just tell him, like, keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about if you're cool or if this is going to turn out the right way, because you're going to be an icon. And You're really hot also.
That's beautiful.
Caleb, that's so beautiful.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It was wonderful chatting with you. And for everyone listening at home, this has been the Roast of Your Teenage Self podcast.